This week in the parish of Bourses and Market Structure, DB1's Midpoint Mamba, Russian Metal's Band, and a fond farewell to Laura Cha. My name is Patrick L. Young. Welcome to the Bourse Business Weekly Digest. It's the Exchange Invest Weekly Podcast, episode 241. Good day, ladies and gentlemen. This is a very brief reduction of highlights amongst the key headlines from the week in market structure. All the analysis of the many events and happenings from the past 7 days can be found in Exchange Invest's daily subscriber newsletter, the unique guide to the bourse business, sent daily to your inbox. More details at exchangeinvest.com. Over in bit carnage, way back when, data centers became a pivotal force in managing market infrastructure and indeed broader finance as a whole. From here, the move from on-prem to off-prem was in a way fully complete by the time the digital revolution of crypto really gained steam. Data centers were all the rage, and the natural home for all manner of apps became the cloud. With that has come some concomitant growing pains for all parties, including those who don't even use the online data in the first place. Thus, where the US stock markets occupy massive city centre real estate, their transactions are mostly in New Jersey data centres, and in the City of London, Essex is really the key place for moving the money. However, that leaves a quandary. Mahwah, the location nobody has ever heard of in New Jersey, but which is the world's largest hub of stock trading, is facing an acute upcoming energy shortage for the locals who want to run their aircon and heat like their homes, while the data centres grow exponentially, sucking the electricity. This leads to a problem when it comes to Bitcoin, which is leading to some quite radical changes to policy as data centres come close to not merely overheating, but sucking up energy reserves the populace would like to maintain their lifestyles with. In Scandinavia, Norway has passed data centre legislation signalling more scrutiny for Bitcoin miners. Meanwhile, in Exchange Invest on Tuesday, April 16th, we noted an MIT study. The cloud now has a greater carbon footprint than the airline industry. If you enjoyed this excerpt, you may be interested to know that you can read BitCarnage every day in Exchange Invest. Alternatively, if you want to follow BitCarnage, the daily update on happenings in the world of crypto and digital assets, you can find BitCarnage as a standalone on Substack. In the big world of, one might call legacy exchanges, but nonetheless digitally empowered wonder things, but perhaps not with as much blockchain or cryptocurrency, well, the United States and the United Kingdom have taken action to reduce Russian revenue from metals. That was the statement of the US Department of the Treasury. The UK and US jointly have banned new Russian metal entering the exchange warehouse system. True, a vast amount of metals trade is still direct B2B between miners, traders and manufacturers, but this nonetheless impacts LME and CME in the warehouse business and beyond. True, Chinese mainland exchanges may be able to trade some of the stockpiles, but the issue may be where they are in warehousing queues and therefore logistics in order to hit the Chinese market in the medium term. Still in the overall polity of China, it's a real shame we won't have another Laura Cha chairman term to look forward to, but she leaves Hong Kong exchanges in a fascinating position moving forward. All the best to her during her last fortnight in office. Laura Cha has long been a diminutive but towering presence in the Hong Kong markets and thereabouts. Her stint as chairman of HKEX is alas coming to an end, frankly all too soon, as far as Exchange Invest is concerned, but she has a strong succession plan lined up with new chairman Carlson Tong Ka-shing taking over on April 24th. We salute Laura Cha, her brilliance, and are delighted at her choice of Bonnie Chan as CEO. Right now, a lot of folks remain pessimistic about HKEX. We're the 100% contra to that. The foundations have been built for a new global age for Hong Kong exchanges, which were greatly aided by the Cha chairmanship. Over in Europe, there's a Midpoint Mamba in what has been, well, somewhat of a term of voltafaces. As DB1 reopened their Zetra Midpoint Match facility, which was withdrawn previously in 2017. Writ large here, in my humble opinion, is the careerist narrow-mindedness of DV1 management. Without a serious continuity of approach, the exchange is a habit of ditching sound initiatives because it needs tweaks, revisions, and or, worst of all, QV the Neuer Markt. It has aroused the ire of some investors after a bubble and thus gets closed down. The corporatist approach of DV1 management is thus to avoid such hot potatoes and close the platform. Thus, Worksetra Midpoint was launched in 2008, Deutsche Börse, introducing Xetra's midpoint function and extending it to include a specific block facility with Liquidnet. The latter was a sensible move to enable block trading, but brought down by the baying hounds of the sell side, whose major aim in life, it all struck me, revolved around maintaining an expensive oligopoly at the expense of progress, with a generous lunch in between two periods of market interaction. Now DB1 are reanimating Xetra Midpoint, as everybody else has adopted a similar facility, and Cboe Bids has swept to the forefront of block trading as Liquidnet learnt the wrong lesson from the likes of DB1, which was to take a near monopoly for granted. It's good DB1 can change their minds, but it's also a shame they can't actually manage a long-term plan nowadays. That's a key challenge for the new CEO. Will he be a reformer, a builder, or just looking to milk the Taunus NED circuit while travelling even fewer miles than the legendary Chicago-centric LTEL, or indeed his predecessor as DB1 CEO? Meanwhile, Euronext successfully launched Euronext Midpoint Match, offering dark midpoint and sweep functionalities this week, also entering the dark pool game. Tragic news from Copenhagen. The Denmark Stock Exchange building, the historic building, no longer in use right now as the exchange. It was a conference centre for the Chamber of Commerce. Anyway, the Børsen building, which has suffered during restoration, a fire that has pretty much destroyed the entire historic building. That might be almost a metaphor for what's been going on in the European Union. The headline in the Brussels Bugle led, EU leaders set to revive capital markets union plan in search for defence funding. It's almost as if there's some desperate figure in the Commission who reviews every document and says, quick, add in a CMU provision, when they see anything remotely pertinent. As we've seen from recent agate prop via the Bugle, the European Union wants a concentration heavy oligopoly or monopoly on exchanges, which is so beyond stupid that it shows how the European project, all the way from the EEC through the EU, has learned nothing. Tragically, anyway, another desperate attempt to make it seems as if there might be any CMU, from the word salad of Brussels. In any case, this is really just a fig leaf of a call for a CMU to make up for the complete mismanagement of EU defence, where too many nations relied on the USA, and the Trumpy one upset a lot of people last time he was in office by pushing for more EU states to pay their dues to NATO with a decent defence budget. Now we get another flurry of CMU talk, just in case that's a hat rabbit which can be accessed to save the European Union from its aggressively micromanaged culture of decline. Going back to the Copenhagen fire, it may be the most apt metaphor for the opportunity which was once Europe, alas. Speaking of the opportunity that was once Europe, the European T+1 Industry Task Force comments on recent UK reports on moving to T+1 and outlines the next step, which are essentially that the USA might manage to move on May the 28th, but the European Union and the UK won't probably manage to make it there until, gosh, 2027, T+1,000 days or more. Pretty disappointing all round, given the fact that I doubt that there really will be that much need for a European market by the time we get to 2027, if things extrapolate as they are.
Thanks for listening to Exchange Invest Weekly. We welcome your feedback. You can contact me directly, patrick@derivativesvision.com, with any comments. Meanwhile, if you enjoyed this show, we would welcome you giving us a thumbs up. Or if you have time, a positive review will always be welcome, wherever you find this podcast.
In results this week, it was not the busiest week for results in the parish, but things are warming up in the quarter. Nonetheless, all the details were in Exchange Invest Daily, and they will be this week too for every results announcement. All but from the newsletter, no person can afford to be without in capital markets and market structure. For the sake of this podcast, we're going to look at the editor highlights of two key announcements this week. The Nairobi Securities Exchange in Kenya declared a full dividend of 0.16 local currency per share, and the DBW, the Warsaw Stock Exchange, their sales revenue was up 14.3%, $111.8 million, Net profit was up 7.6%, $39.2 million, albeit EBITDA dropped 4.3%. In deals this week, a couple of interesting things to point out. First of all, Kazakhstan to combine AIX and the Kazakhstan Stock Exchange next year. That message coming from the top of the government, we have to make it clear. In his address to the nation, the president instructed us to combine the potential of the two stock exchanges. I have to admit I remain sceptical that a single national market is ever the answer in the developing digital age, but the decision appears to have been made from above the realm of capital markets. Meanwhile, in Central Eastern Europe to the southeast of Europe, Serbia, Hungary and Slovenia have signed a deal to merge their power exchanges. Then there's the ongoing discussion about PSE and PDS in Manila. PSE, the Philippine Stock Exchange, hopeful on talks for merger with PDS, the Philippine Dealing System, the bond market. That was according to Philstar. It's a headline which could have been published pretty much any time since eExchange Invest was established 11 years ago. Hashtag this time it's different. One thing that is different, ladies and gentlemen, is how the world of blockchain, cryptocurrency and the fintech world have changed everything that's been going on in our markets in recent times, even if they are not themselves dealing on a blockchain. Victory or Death, my most recent book, deals with exactly these topics. It's published by DV Books and distributed by Ingram Worldwide. You can catch a copy at bookstores around the world. While you're waiting for your copy of Victory or Death to arrive, check out our live stream. Tuesday's 5 o'clock London time, midday New York time. It's the IPO video live show. You can catch the back episodes on LinkedIn and YouTube via IPO-Vid. Our most recent episode online, IPO Vid 139, we were talking to Dr. Bharat Kulkarni in India, discussing markets and the winds of change through India and all the way to his involvement with the Ethiopian Commodity Exchange, amongst other markets. Great show that all together. Coming up on Tuesday, we've got Chris Skinner. He's going to be discussing the future of fintech and related issues. That's a show we're going to be showing on Tuesday, 23rd of April at midday Eastern Standard Time. Our finance book of the week this week, we have got a fascinating tome by our IPOVID guest of episode 118, the Arjan Capital Managing Director, Andreas Schweitzer. TradeWorks, the trade finance investor, is a whistle-stop tour of the history of how finance can go wrong and how to prevent it from happening again in the trade finance realm, making a tome to keep dipping into whenever you need to interact with trade finance. Our next book of the week will be unveiled on Saturday in our free Exchange Invest Weekend Edition. You can sign up to the free Weekend Edition on a Saturday at the Exchange Invest website without any difficulty. And while you're there, don't forget the idea of signing up for Exchange Invest, the bulletin of the bourse business, the water cooler of the world of exchanges. You can subscribe to that, and we're offering a free 7-day trial before you have to pay $375 per user year. It's a small cost to pay when you want to join the exchange of information. In product news, a New York Stock Exchange executive says a handful of AI startups are exploring IPOs. I'm wondering, will a suitable large language model write their prospectuses, I wonder, or will the original LLMs in the law firms be hugely upset? I suspect the answer is probably neither. The LLMs will use an LLM to write the prospectus and charge the clients the usual fee, the ultimate digital double dip. Elsewhere, Nasdaq have launched futures on the OMX, Sweden's Small Cap 30 ESG Responsible Index. Technology news this week, we've got excitement from the Caribbean. The Trinidad and Tobago Stock Exchange is moving their settlement from T+3 to T+2 in the course of the next few weeks, thus briefly managing to be on the global standard of T+2, just at the point in time when that standard is crumbling and moving to T+1. Regulation news this week, the SEC have got some final climate disclosure rules. They're simpler but still disputed. I suppose one could call it a success, as they only garnered 6 legal challenges to this version instead of the 10 which fully postponed all of the rules in previous weeks. At the same time, interesting look ahead, IOSCO, they've published an updated work plan for the year ahead. Career paths, remarkably sparse week, apart from, of course, that winding down of the career as chairman of the Hong Kong Exchanges for Laura Cha. Nonetheless, Hope Jarkowski is leaving New York Stock Exchange, where she was co-head of regulatory affairs, and will be joining Broadridge as chief legal officer. All the very, very best to Hope. Meanwhile, in big world, two statistics I noted the other day about countries progressing from middle income to rich status and the nature of their progress and what underpins them. Interesting to consider. Point one, no command economy has ever made it into the richest 39 nations on earth. Second point to ponder, absolutely no command economies have ever achieved high income status. And on that mysterious and magnificent note, thank you for listening to this, the Exchange Invest Weekly Podcast number 241. Join us daily via exchangeinvest.com, or if you have a new exchange you would like built, get in touch. My name is Patrick L. Young. I wish you all a great week in life and markets.
This show relates to the business of bourses. It is not to be construed as investment advice, nor are we making any investment recommendations. Please consult an investment advisor before you make any investments, and for goodness sake, do your due diligence and do not make investments without complying with the regulations in your home state. Exchange Invest cannot be held responsible for any investment decisions made as a result of our program, which is for entertainment purposes only. The material herein is copyright Patrick L. Young at the date of publication, while our music and sound effects are sourced from copyright-free sources. Thanks for listening to Exchange Invest Weekly, the exchange of information.